Choose life. Choose a pod. Choose a sport. Choose a team. Choose a fucking big football pitch. Choose penalties, throw-ins, spectacular shots and fingertip saves. Choose good discipline, sliding tackles and yellow cards. Choose 4-1-2-1 diamond formations. Choose a training ground routine. Choose your team. Choose unmistakable kit and matching shorts. Choose a pair of socks that tells the world just how fucking fat we are. Choose post-match drinks and wondering who the fuck you are on a Sunday morning. Choose sitting on that couch watching mind-numbing, spirit-crushing Sunday league games, stuffing fucking protein bars in your mouth. Choose rotting away at the end of it all, fishing your last in a miserable home, nothing more than an embarrassment to the selfish fucked-up brat who's replaced yourself. Choose your future. Choose life.
Good evening, Mike.
Welcome to the Charity Football Weekly Podcast. Good evening, Phil. How are we tonight?
Incredible after hearing that. That was spectacular.
I think you ought to explain why we've just started the pod like that.
So we are recording this part on the 30th of January, 2025. It is exactly 5 years since the first episode of CFW Pod came out. And wow. Mike wrote that piece specifically for Ian Mackie to read out in his Scottish accent. We didn't record it for some reason, so I thought it'd be nice to finally air Mike's fine writing.
I'm amazed that you actually found it. I can't even remember writing that. So, yes, that was a bit of a blast in the past, I guess.
Oh, great. I think you should write a soliloquy every week.
A soliloquy. If I could spell soliloquy, I might decide to do so.
I think you should write a soliloquy every week and we'll bed lust for life under it.
good old Iggy Pop.
What are you drinking tonight, Mike?
Well, tonight I've started with something a bit lighter, more refreshing than I normally would go for. And I've actually gone for a craft lager. And I'm drinking a Camden Hells craft lager at 4.6%. It looks a little bit like a diseased urine sample, but it tastes decent. It's not bad at all. How about yourself, Phil? What are you drinking?
Been to Sheffield recently, as we're going to discuss on the pod. I picked myself up this beautiful can. Look at that.
That is a tactile glorious can.
And it's a can of the Wednesday Pale Ale. It's 4.0% and it's a Thornbridge beer. It's very nice.
Yeah, I noticed that was a rather sparkly looking can that you had in your hand there.
I wouldn't say the can sold it to me, but the can sold it to me.
I do have something a little bit special for the second half as well. Oh, something a little bit more off the wall than normal.
Ooh, off the wall for the second half.
Absolutely.
That is absolutely fabulous. Thing is, Mike, if I wasn't having a beer, I think I'd really fancy a cocktail.
Would you like a cocktail, Phil?
Cocktail time.
Take a beer glass. Fill it quarter full with whiskey. Add vodka until it's half full. Then add lager until it's three quarters full. Add cider until the glass is almost full, and then add a hint of blackcurrant squash, and you are serving a Jesus juice. That sounds like an absolute killer as well.
Sounds like something Beavertown would make.
but you're basically looking at a beer glass that's one half spirits. So it's... By the end of it, you'll be talking to Jesus, I think. Maybe even arranging an interview in person.
Ooh. Oh, my God. The names are always spectacular.
That's really what we choose them for.
Mike.
Phil.
What have you learned from watching football this week?
Well, yesterday was the Champions League final day of the league stage. And I'll be perfectly honest, there were some fantastic little games in there. There were some games that were a little bit dull, and I didn't get a single chance to watch them because the missus wanted to watch Silent Witness, so we did that instead. So what I've learned from football is that fake stories about a pathologist are more important than football.
That is true, and that is how you stayed married all of these years. Would you like some charity football news, Mike?
I'd love to hear some charity football news.
I'm glad you asked. So, starting off, we have Matt's Legends FC. They are playing the University of Hull Staff FC It's on Sunday, the 2nd of February, 2 o'clock kickoff. It's for the Hull Charity League at Alum Sports Centre. And do you know who plays for the University of Hull Staff FC, Mike?
I would guess somebody on the University of Hull staff register.
Callum Thompson.
Oh, fabulous. Friend of the pod, Callum Thompson.
Callum Thompson, 42nd match report, please. Phoenix FC. We're not the only ones to have a birthday, Mike. Phoenix FC turned 2, and they are celebrating it the only way they know how to, by getting bumper numbers down to Sirius Academy West on Sunday morning. It's testament to everybody involved at the club and their collective effort that Phoenix have been able to take flight. Feels like we have come a long way since that cold January in 2023 with just a bag of bibs for a small-sided game. We can look back with pride and move forward together, knowing that we will be supporting so many important causes in 2025 and beyond.
The Sirius Academy, did you say?
Yes.
Fairly sure you and I have played a game there.
We have. We have played a game. I buggered my knee up.
Yeah, knackered my hand. So... It's not just the home of charity football, it's the home of killing footballers, bit by bit.
KSS United, sorry.
I was going to say, did you notice how I charitably made myself a footballer in that lot? Look, a lad like me running around a pitch. Come on.
Oh, we had great fun that day. It was hot. It was unseasonably hot in Hull.
It was, which made a pleasant change, I think.
I guess so. Not when you've got ginger skin, it didn't. KSS United. Inter Club Cup, Friday, February 7th, KSS United FC is thrilled to kick off the season with the exciting Inter Club Cup. It's blue v orange in a battle for the trophy, who will emerge victorious. Join us for an action-packed game as we relaunch our season whilst raising funds for the Air Ambulance KSS. Your support makes a real difference. It's at Danson Sports, Perry Street, Crayford, DA1 4RB. And it's a 8:15 kickoff. Come and cheer along your local team and contribute to a fantastic cause. Let's make it a memorable season opener.
Excellent. So good to hear that they're still going strong and they're still putting games on.
Not our local team, though, at DA1.
No. A little bit of a hike back after going to the pub, I'm guessing.
Hornchurch FC, the miracle of Heybridge. What an incredible showdown we witnessed this past Saturday, Sunday, that doesn't make sense, as the boys took on Czechoslovakia Charity Football Club in what turned out to be their most thrilling match yet. Despite facing a tough week plagued by illness and family commitments and injuries that left them short-handed and players out of position, the boys didn't let that dampen their spirits. Instead, they rallied together, defying all the odds, proving that nothing is impossible. With their leaves raised high... Is that some sort of joke? I don't know, but that's exactly what it says on here. They unleashed a surge of energy that sent the pressure soaring straight towards Czechoslovakia Charity FC. In a thrilling climax, they fashioned a victorious with a fantastic 4-3 win against a highly skilled, a well-organised team of Czechoslovakia. There you go. It's quite hard to say Czechoslovakia on multiple occasions, but here we are.
I think you managed it quite well, all things considered. That sounded like a good fun time.
Certainly did. And if you want to get your charity football news to us, you can either email it to cfwpod@outlook.com or just do what everyone else does and tag us on Instagram.
Fabulous.
Would you like a 40-second match report, Mike?
Ooh, if we've got a 40-second match report, I'd love to hear one.
We have. But shall we bring now this whole episode into context as if we've planned it from the start?
Go on then.
So, Mike and I, last Tuesday, we went to watch Hallam FC play Sheffield FC. The fixture is known as the Rules Derby, and it is the oldest football rivalry in the world and dates back to the origins of association football from the mid-19th century. And it holds historical significance as a meeting between two of the earliest football clubs. Sheffield FC, founded in 1857, they were recognised by FIFA as the world's oldest football club who was still in existence. And then you've got Hallam FC. They were founded in 1860, 3 years later, and became one of the first clubs to play Sheffield FC. Their home ground, Sandygate, is the world's oldest football ground that's still in use. The two teams first met. First recorded match was December 26, 1860 at Sandygate, and that was the start of this magnificent rivalry. The reason why it's called the Rules Derby is the pioneering football rules were known as Sheffield Rules, And these were rules of football until the FA made their own up about a decade later. Google it, something like that. Mike and I, we went on January 21st, 2025. We didn't go back in time in our TARDIS. We watched them about a week ago, wasn't it, Mike?
It was. Bit of a chilly night, but otherwise, fabulous event.
Hallam FC hosted Sheffield FC at Sandygate for the historic Rules Derby, as we've just explained. It was at Sandygate at Hallam's ground. The match attracted a capacity crowd of 1,496 spectators. Hallam secured a 2-1 win, advancing to the semi-final of the Sheffield and Hallamshire Senior Cup. And we had a really good night, didn't we, Mike?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely loved that. And the atmosphere at that ground, fantastic.
So, to keep the Sheffield theme going and the charity theme going, charity football game, soccer in the streets, in Atlanta, in America, Sheffield Saturday, Sheffield Sunday, Sheffield Derby, Mike. Are you ready to hear from Joe Johnston?
Can't wait.
Hey, Phil and Mike, it's Joe over here in Atlanta with Sheffield Saturday, Sheffield Sunday. We just had the probably greatest Wawa Derby today that we've ever played. Sheffield Sunday went up 2-0 in the first probably 15 minutes of the match. But by the middle of the second half, Saturday had clawed back and we were tied 3-3. Then with about 5 minutes left, the offensive all-star that is key for Sheffield Saturday scored probably the most brilliant individual goal I've seen in Sunday League in a very long time to give Saturday the lead 4-3. But unfortunately, Saturday got a little complacent. Alex Bassine, who had the first four goals for Sheffield Sunday, scored with about a minute and a half left. He is by far probably the greatest poacher that I've seen in a long time as well. So we're tied up 4-4 with about 30 seconds left or a minute left in the match. And the defensive anchor, that is Rachel Wright, scored a brilliant goal assisted by one of our new signings, Fabo, to give Sunday the win, 5-4. And Lindbergh is blue. So I hope you guys are well, and I'm sure I'll talk to you guys again soon. Cheers.
There you go, Mike. Lindbergh is blue.
Lindbergh is blue. And why not? I mean, let's face it, it was always going to be a win no matter which side won. But it's...
That's so irrefutable logic, isn't it?
You're very welcome. I love listening
always
to Joe.
Always a pleasure
as well.
To hear from Joe, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So rather than you and me summarising what happened in the Hallam-Sheffield game, we have Bethany Clemency joining us. It was lovely. We met her mum, we met her sister, and we met her boyfriend all on that night. We had a lovely night with Bethany. It was her birthday. She did enjoy a drink, didn't she, Mike?
Oh, one or two, yes. And it wasn't like me and my hot Bovril or you and your hot chocolate either. Hers had foam on top.
It certainly did. We're going to name drop Julia as well, since she was there. Big fan of the pod, so I'm led to believe Bethany's mother. So we're going to listen to Bethany tell us about the evening.
Hello, Charity Football Weekly. It's Bethany from Sheffield Wednesday Women's Supporters Group. Here is a little match report from me about the Hallam v Sheffield Oldest Derby in the World game last week. So the match was rescheduled, which was sad at first until I realised they rescheduled it for my birthday. And I'd booked my annual leave, but I couldn't really figure out what to do. So that was very opportune. Came over from Manchester in the afternoon, chilled at my mum's for a bit, and then we drove up to Sandygate nice and early because I don't like queuing. And we knew it was going to be really busy. We bumped into you, Phil and Mike, and watched the game together. And I think that the vibes were just immaculate. I had a great time. Obviously, because it was my birthday, the beers were flowing. I was a bit warmer as well because it was flipping freezing. The Hallam fans were amazing. I loved the real home of football banner and their flares, which looked like blueberry vapes. I thought the game was brilliant, really evenly matched, and kind of, they played to the occasion in a very kind of apt way. I think it was a good kind of spectacle for what a big occasion it was. The goals were fab, had a great view of one of them in particular, and felt quite emotional at full time, especially because I love Hallam, so I was definitely on Hallam's side. So to see them win and see how much it meant to them all, as well as the kind of Hallam regulars, it was just a fantastic day. And I wish I could do that every week, but then I guess it wouldn't be so special. Thank you for having me, and speak to you guys soon.
And I think she summed it up perfectly, really, Mike. It was just such a privilege to be there, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, the only thing she missed out was my hot bovril. So...
And your defensive duties, because it was a capacity crowd and everyone wanted to get a good
on the
view,
rail,
didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, having to. But I noticed one thing as well. She did mention it was a freezing night and it was quite cold out there. And I wasn't entirely sure which coat I should bring, so I ended up bringing my massive great Polar Explorer's coat. And you came out with what was effectively a sort of lightweight linen jacket affair or something along those lines. Didn't seem to be doing much to protect you from hypothermia.
No, not really. Well, it is a raincoat, but and it had been raining when we set off, so I thought, I'm going to need a raincoat, yeah. But it was cold at the end of the night. That post-match McDonald's was needed.
Hey, hang on a second. They're not sponsoring this pod. That post-match fast food outlet visit.
But it was great, and we will talk about it a bit more later. But yeah, great night. It's always a great night. We bumped in front to Ryan from the Shed End. That was great. The only sad thing for us is that we couldn't bump into all our old friends because it was just so blooming busy, which is great for the club.
Yeah, so much so that they were even... For the first time that I've ever seen, they'd opened the side beyond the shed on the shed end, and they ended up opening the opposite side as well to get people surrounding the pitch. And it was great. It was, I mean, it must be so good for the club that it's just built and built and built over these years. And they've got one other thing in their favour that they probably don't realise. They got a lucky mascot, because every game that I've attended at Sandygate has ended in a win for Hallam FC. So I am their unofficial lucky mascot. I have a 100% success rate in games that I've attended.
What a recorder. What a record. You've never left
beating.
Disappointed?
Never. I don't think I ever would, even if the result didn't go in Hallam's favour, because it is such a good fun ground. And it's such a great atmosphere as well. I did notice the shed end were fairly consistently sledging the opposition goalkeeper. And his goal kicks, which started off reasonably competent, did seem to somewhat deteriorate as the night went on. I think they were managing to get under his skin quite effectively.
I think you're right. I think there were. There were some cracking chants. Absolutely great chants.
You're not the best team in Dronfield.
Yeah.
I think was one of them. Which is so harsh. Unfortunately, that's such a niche joke to the area. But yeah, it's a very, very harsh chant. But, you know, if it works to get under their skin and demoralise them, more power to them.
So we have got guests for you this evening. Mike and I have loads of commitments, which is probably why the podcast has slowed down a little bit. So to get a podcast out this time, we've pre-recorded an interview in that the other person has had to pre-record, and me and Mike are going to react to it live here.
Marvellous.
Best we can. It's a bit like one of those choose your own storybooks. So we've got a guest for you. It's John Wiseman. He's community member of Hallam FC, and we're going to talk a little bit about that Sheffield derby, if you're up for it.
Fire away.
Hello, guys. So this is pretty weird. You decided that you would give me some questions. I was going to answer them, but you don't want to be there to answer me the questions. I mean, really? Are you really going to put me in that situation? Anyway, look, it's like this. Number one, introduce yourself. That's great. My name's John Wiseman. I'm a committee member for the Hallam Football Club and have been involved with Hallam for about the last 10 years. My duties include, well, talking to no one, it appears. Thanks very much for that. And I do all the videoing for Hallam Football Club, so all the match highlights are on YouTube. I get involved in anything to do with anything that's got a plug on it, because my background is IT. So, of course, anything they need around websites, etc. Yeah, you know, you want portals, or they want to send tickets online, just give it to John, he'll sort it. So that's who I am.
Do you also know who John is, Mike?
I think he's a one of our original friends from the Shed End as well, isn't he?
He is, but do you remember what he's famous for on the highlights?
Oh, my word. No. What was he famous for?
Swearing. Oh. <goal's> going.
Oh, yes.
Question number two. The world's oldest derby took place in Sheffield on Tuesday night. The first competitive fixture between Hallam FC and Sheffield FC for well over a decade. How do you feel? What a result. Oh, I'll tell you something. The build-up to this game was by far the most involved that we've ever been as a committee and as a set of volunteers. Normally we get 500-600 people to a match. On rare occasions we'll get 700-800. And then all of a sudden we've got people 1,496, plus there might have been a few others in there, if I'm being honest. And we was getting requests from people from literally all over the world that were looking to purchase tickets. Of course, so many tickets, we can only put so many people in the ground, can't we? As for the event itself, what a great game. From a neutral point of view, I would love to have seen that game. It was two sides that went out there to win. Hallam FC won 2-1. Two great goals. And there was me videoing the match as well. And you may be able to hear me in the background, maybe. Just a little utter of pleasure as both the goals went in. But, you know, this is against Sheffield FC, I guess. Technically, they're our oldest rivals. Well, not technically. There's no technically about it. They are our oldest rivals. The two oldest football clubs in the world playing at the oldest football ground in the world, playing in the oldest derby ever. It's just a shame that, you know, maybe our local authority or even the Football Association didn't take more interest in that and promoted it the way they should have. But hey, we don't hold things. I felt great about the game. It was a great game. It was a great show. It was great to see the people in the crowd, of course. I'll move on to the question. Well,
Mike, we were so lucky to get tickets, weren't we, really? Because we were very limited tickets online.
I was just thinking, as he was saying, oh, the FA should have given us more recognition, more publicity and things like that. It's like, if they did, how would you have fitted those people in the ground? It was absolutely rammed. And credit to you, because you were the guy who secured us those two tickets. When we heard stories about people who had been trying desperately to get hold of them, and they're just all sold out. So, yeah, it was a privilege to be there, and I thoroughly enjoyed it as a neutral, because although we have been to Hallam games before at Sandygate, I don't have any specific allegiances to any of those South Yorkshire-based teams. So, as a neutral, I thought it was absolutely a fantastic game. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
As a former native of Crosspool, I am obliged to support Hallam, and I loved it. Go on, John, we cut you off. We'll let you carry on.
Number three. The big story of the Rules Derby at Sandgate, the world's oldest ground, was off the field. We were fortunate to get tickets to stand in a remarkable crowd of 1,496. What were you thinking as the crowd started to file in before kickoff? For a period of time, there was some jubilation, seeing people filling up the ground. Then that kind of turned to a little bit of concern. Obviously, where I'm standing in the, as we called it, the executive media suite, could see that there was only about 1,000 people in at one point, and we thought, oh my God, this is going to be ridiculous. This is going to be two packs, and there seem to be big congestion zones. Of course, we made the decision to open the back side, the cricket side, which was well managed. And I will say I do thank the fans for that as well, because they were well behaved on that side. And in the time that I've been at Hallam Football Club, that's the first time that I've ever seen a crowd go all the way around the ground. So, yeah, look, thrilled. I was absolutely chuffed, of course. there was one point that I took a video of everyone all the way around, and I turned to Chris, who does our match announcements, and I said to him, this is just great. This is just brilliant. You know, what a great day for Sheffield as a footballing place, that we've got an eighth tier and a ninth tier football club, and we've rammed the place out. And to be quite honest, we could have sold double the tickets. You know, and maybe on reflection, we could have planned a bit better. But, you know, there's lessons to be learned from things. But look, we was all chuffed. We was chuffed.
I would argue that you couldn't have planned it any better. It, from where me and Mike were, it all felt perfect. We got in, the tickets scanned, everything was easy to get in. We wanted a hot drink, we got a hot drink. We needed to use the loo, that was easy. From where me and Mike were, everything was perfect, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, we did see the size of the queue going to the cabin for the hot food. Unfortunately, we didn't need to partake in the evening because that would have been a hell of a wait. But as you know, the facilities are what they are. It's the world's oldest football ground. They haven't exactly got the space to branch out and put new state-of-the-art stands in and things like that. But it still served its purpose, and it supported a crowd of almost 1,500 people who wanted to watch a fabulous game of football. And that's exactly what happened.
It was a treat. It was an absolute treat. Anyway, John, we'll stop you talking again. We'll let you carry on.
Question number four. Mike and I enjoyed a few chants of the game. Oh, yes. The best being, what's it like to play in Sheffield from the shed end? Yeah, I love that one too. What was your favourite moment from the derby? I think my favourite moment from the derby was when it ended. Now, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? What a horrible thing to say. The event was massive. The event was bigger than the two clubs. The event was bigger than me, the volunteers, the chairman, everyone. And it was some relief, I guess, that Hallam come out victors. 1,400 or 1,500 odd people then left the stadium. You know, and there was no incident, there was nothing bad happened, and I believe everyone enjoyed the day. And I'm, you know, chuffed that yourself and Mike enjoyed it. As friends of the club, you know, it's always great and welcoming to see people like yourself. It's a shame we didn't get to meet on the day, but hey, guys, come up again. You know the rules.
There you go, Mike. I didn't feel any threat of violence. It was the most calm derby fixture I've ever been to.
The only threat of violence I felt was towards the burger that we consumed afterwards. That needed some damage doing to it, and that's what happened.
Sorry, John, we will let you carry on.
Number five, we were celebrating... Not celebrating. Can't read for some reason. We were celebrity spotting at the game, notably Chris Waddle. Again, David Hurst, and the younger and from the younger fans, current Rotherham and ex-goalkeeper Cameron Dawson. Yeah. Well, look, we get Chris Wilde coming out quite a bit as well, especially when Sheffield United are doing well. He seems to turn up, and you know, it's nice for people to come. I will say Waddle and Hurst, especially, are very accommodating. You know, our club president, Uri Rennie, you know, it's the, you know, he has a lot of photos taken with crowd, but they're all open to have conversations, you know, and they don't mind signing and talking to people. So, you know, it's great. You know, we do have a lot of notable people coming up there, and that's great. That's great for the club, isn't it? And it's great that you guys noticed. It's a shame that you didn't spot the New England manager there.
You did comment, Mike, that the game was a bit Gareth Southgate from Sheffield FC's point of view.
Well, yes, there was like play sideways, play it backwards, play it sideways, play it backwards.
I hope you got the Waddle counter in there.
I will start making sure that the dings are in there. He did fail to mention another famous name as well, which I think I can see the reason why he failed to mention it. But Daniel Pudil.
Yes.
Now, the only reason that I can see why he would fail to mention that is because he was actually on the flaming pitch. He was actually subbed on to play. So, yeah, seeing somebody like Daniel Pudil on the pitch. OK, he may be in the twilight of his career now, but he was still putting in a shift and he was still having a good game.
Oh, incredible. absolutely incredible. Funnily, you mentioned that, Mike.
Yeah, I'll leave you with that one. Number six, Phil has a man crush on Daniel Pudel. It's not really a question. We wanted to put it out there. Okay. Not sure where to go with that one, but I think I know where you're coming from. We'll move on to the final one.
Oh, I didn't even know you'd ask that or put that into the list.
The stress of trying to get a photo of him on the pitch, Mike, that must have took about 2 or 3 minutes of my life.
Oh, dear. But yes, you've got the old man crush going on there, haven't you? So just for those who don't know, who is Daniel Pudel?
Daniel Pudel, he used to play for Watford. He used to play for Sheffield Wednesday in England. He is a Czech player who played in the Euros. I think it was the Euros in 2016. Me and Mike had him a few times as a Panini sticker. He's a great guy. He's a left back. He's fabulous. He was a great player for Wednesday. I know that because I've seen him. Mike and I have the pleasure of getting invited to Hillsborough as well. Daniel Pudel put a charity football match on there, a Czech All-Stars versus a Sheffield Wednesday All-Stars. And we got to sit in the press box and it was all lovely. And they raised a load of money for Western Park Cancer Hospital in Sheffield and another more local charity in Czech. And I can't quite remember who that was because it's been a few years, but it was great. So he's a great guy, great footballer, and he just looked like a professional. Not that everyone else didn't. The standard of football was amazing, but we saw him the night. But he just had, the way he struck the ball was unlike anything. And to stand that close at Howlam and watch him play, it was a real privilege. So there's my man crush at the moment.
There you go.
Yeah. We'll let you carry on, John, with the last question.
Number seven. Any other business? Anything you'd like to add? Well, I guess I can summarise. We had to beat Shildon off the top of my head, or Silsden, sorry, we had to beat Silsden, didn't we, to get through to this round to play Chef FC. I can't remember where they had to be, but we said, now wouldn't it be amazing if we both won our games and we drew each other, because we knew what the draw was. And when it actually came to that, we said, oh my God, we are going to play Sheffield FC again for the first time, competitively, you know, for some years. But then, you know, we did play them about 4 years ago in a kickabout. We beat them then as well, which was quite satisfying. But, you know, I'm going to summarise, what a great day for non-league football. What a great day for Hallam Football Club. What a great day for Sheffield as a whole, as a place, and the heritage of football that's coming out of Sheffield, that we was able to attract 1,500 people to a not a non-league game, but a ninth and eighth tier football club playing each other. I'm fairly sure that would be unprecedented. We'd love to have had more. It broke my heart turning people away, people approaching us either via social media or via a website, or people approaching me in the street, people ringing us up, and it generally broke our hearts to say, sorry, we can't let you in, we generally can't. And people thought we were joking, but we couldn't. We have to uphold health and safety, of course we do. We have a duty of care to every person that's in there. But what a great day. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it and hope to see you guys soon. That's all from me. You said keep it short. 10 minutes. I think you know me, guys. You can't make me do anything short when it comes to talking. Hope this works for you. Have a good day.
Thank you, John. That was absolutely perfect. And I think everyone got a really good feel about Hallam FC as a club and that Sheffield derby.
What a guy. What great answers as well.
Oh, amazing. And me and Mike will definitely be back. It'd be really lovely if we could see the semi-final, but we don't even know the draw yet because the quarter-final's not been complete. Well, I've got to play Stocksbridge Park Steels on the 18th of February, so I'm guessing the draw is going to be after that at some point. So me and Mike will definitely be up to Sandygate before end of season. It'd be really lovely.
All they've got to remember is that I have a 100% success rate as a lucky mascot. So if there are any games coming up where they absolutely have to get a win, that's the time when they need to be inviting us back.
Oh, absolutely, Mike. Any other business from you at the end of that interview, Michael? I think we've had it.
Not for the end of the interview, no, but I did say in the second half I was going to actually move on to something slightly different in the drinks department.
Oh my goodness, what you got?
And I don't know if you can see that there. So it's a bit of a strange sort of looking liquid, that one, isn't it? I'll give you a chance to have one guess at it, see if you can guess what that is.
It looked like red wine, if I'm honest, from this webcam.
It's a lot darker than red. It's very brown, actually, not red. So,
is it an ale?
It's not, no. And that was your one guess.
Damn it.
That is actually, I don't know if you can see that there. It is a salted caramel espresso martini cocktail in a can.
Mike keeping it classy like he always does.
Yeah. And I'm not drinking it out of a mug either. It's actually in a glass. A glass.
On a totally unrelated topic, and not sure how exciting a podcast this will make, but did you see that on our local community group about a local pub only having one wine glass for the whole pub?
No, I didn't. What was that about?
I'll say it and you can decide if you're going to edit it or not. But the railway in Murfield apparently only had one wine glass, and someone ordered a bottle of wine and we had to drink it out of like half pint glasses. And then people were responding to the comment going, "Stop moaning, what's your problem?" And I thought, if I go to the pub's sole purpose is to serve drinks, right?
Shall we say a variety of drinks rather than just pints?
And you'd think that, you know, a glass of wine in a wine glass wouldn't be out of order. And, you know, somewhere that bases its business on serving alcoholic drinks.
I can't think why a wine glass with a stem, keep it classy, wouldn't be available in a pub. Unless they've just had an absolutely massive round of breakages and they haven't yet had a chance to fulfill a replacement order. But yeah.
But the amount of anger of people at the OP for complaining about it and saying, "Did your wine taste any different? You're at a pub.
Yeah.
You want to drink a wine in a wine glass."
But then again, I mean, does your wine taste any different? That's a very silly way to look at it, because do you drink beer through a straw?
Exactly.
It's the way you drink something goes with the drink itself. It becomes the experience, all part of it. So, and okay, yeah, we have drunk beer through a certain savory snack straw in the past, so maybe that wasn't the best analogy to use. But I think if I went in and ordered something that required a nice glass, I mean, I wouldn't want to drink, if I went in and ordered a measure of whiskey or a measure of brandy or something along those lines, I wouldn't want that served in the bottom of a pint pot. I'd want a decent glass for it, you know. So I don't know. It's good to know, though, that there are plenty of people on this planet whose biggest concern in life is the glass that they get served in a pub. Because when you think of all the problems there are around the world, I mean, these are proper first world problems, aren't they?
It was the anger from both sides. It was so derisive. A glass of wine. It did amuse me.
Yes. At least it didn't come out in a little favourite dad mug or something along those lines. That would have been superb and horrifying in equal measure.
Oh, definitely. Mike, we need a pub playlist. I think we've had Sheffield as a topic before, but we will have it again because it was a Sheffield derby. What's your song?
Oh, does it have to be Sheffield specific? Because, of course, this opens the doors to you for any of the Sheffield-based musicians that are at the heart and soul of your album collections.
You can do whatever you would like, Michael.
Do you know what? I'm going to pick a famous road in Sheffield, and I am going to go for Mr. Brightside.
What a shout. I am going to go for a band who have emblazoned Hallam FC's shirt before. I'm going to go for Reverend and the Makers. And you need to check our TikTok out, because Mike and I, we made a TikTok of our day at the Sheffield Derby. And you can find us on TikTok, Charity Football Weekly or CFW Pod. Either way, you will get to the account. And I chose the song Heavyweight Champion of the World, which, yeah.
Which immediately kicked all the copyright infringement people off, going, oh, you can't use that.
It were all right on TikTok. Facebook did not like it one bit.
No, it did not.
We cannot monetize this video.
All your advertising revenues are going to go to somebody else. Oh,
it's
that's
a
fine.
Good job. We're so amateur, we don't collect any money.
We don't get any, yeah. So good luck claiming something that doesn't exist. Oh,
so a couple of thank yous. Thank you to everyone who sent us their charity football news. Thank you to Joe Johnston for your 40-second match report. Thank you for Bethany for providing more audio. I think you've been on the last five eps. We're going to have to get you on the payroll. Thank you to John Wiseman. We hope to see you soon at Hallam. Mike, if you've got any charity football news, you want to be on the pod, anything like that, how do we get in touch with us?
So easy. So obviously you'll find us all over social media, as Phil's already said. Just look for the Charity Football Weekly podcast on Facebook. You'll find us. We are on Instagram and Threads, cfw.pod. You'll find us on TikTok, cfwpod. All of these ways, and you can message us through any of those platforms. We will get them. Try not to use the X Twitter, whatever it's called, because we don't anymore. It's become a bit of a toxic environment, so we don't bother going on there anymore. But the best way to get hold of us is drop us an email, cfwpod@outlook.com. And if you want to do a 40-second match report, or if you want to talk about something that you guys are doing coming up, just get in touch with us. You can record audio, we'll pick it up, and it may even get included in the pod.
Perfect. Me and Mike are battling our way to episode 100. This is episode 94 of the Charity Football Weekly podcast. We'll see you soon.
Take care now. Bye.
Bye.